Did you know that most Americans think these two guys are not very different?
While we are absolutely committed to working with Democrats and Republicans to find further savings and to look at the whole range of budget issues, we can't sacrifice our future in the process.
Perhaps the activists of unrestrained government think there's some compromise to be had that allows the spending binge to survive. Ladies and gentlemen, know this. We will do no such thing. We have not come all this way to compromise on the will and the birthright of our people.
The disdain for the word compromise in his voice, and yet most Americans apparently see not much difference between those two guys, House Speaker John Boehner and President Obama. Looks like the final deadline for a federal government shutdown is now April 8th. No more teeny tiny stopgap bills with teeny tiny compromises. As you know, the Republican House is demanding $61 billion in immediate cuts. The Senate, controlled by Democrats, is nowhere near that, with Obama, of course, with the Senate. And this has been going on for months. We've been debating the merits of the two sides' arguments a lot on the program. Today, we will begin with a deep dive on public opinion. The Pew Center for the People and the Press has an in-depth poll that goes way beyond the usual horse race questions and finds basically a hostile and contradictory public mood. Republican voters are souring on Republicans in Congress. Democrats are souring on things in general. Almost everyone opposes tax hikes, but almost no one over 30 wants cuts to Medicare or Social Security. Oh, and people disagree if the debate is too shrill. So let's sort some of this out with Michael Dimmick from the Pew Center for the People and the Press. Michael, thank you so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me this morning.
And let's go through some individual findings, and then we'll try to put them together for a big picture. We'll also take some calls in a minute. In fact, I'll ask the listeners right now one of your poll questions without revealing your result, and let's see what we get, okay? The question is, which do you think, listeners, is the biggest economic concern today, jobs, the deficit, or rising prices? Call us up and answer that question. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Again, and it's simple, which do you think is the biggest economic concern today? Jobs, the deficit, or rising prices? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Don't overthink it. Just call us with your response to that Pew poll question. Which do you think is the biggest economic concern today? Jobs, the deficit, or rising prices? 212-433-WNYC for Michael Dimmick from the Pew Center for the People and the Press. So, Michael, while the calls are coming in, you asked the question, is there much difference between the House Republicans and President Obama on government spending and the deficit? You really asked, whose approach do you actually prefer? But you had an option for not much difference, and you found, unless my eyes deceive me, that a majority, 52%, said there is not much difference. Mm-hmm. Now, that's incredible. Most Americans think there is not much difference between the Obama and the Boehner who we just heard in those clips. Haven't they been watching Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow?
Well, I think what they're saying is there's not much difference in the quality of their approach. There may be differences in the way they're going to do things or the way they propose to do things, but for most Americans, they don't have a lot of confidence in either side to make the right kind of decisions.
So you think it means the quality of their approach? Because your question was, who has a better approach?
Right. Do you think Obama has a better approach to the deficit, the Republican leaders in Congress, or is there not much difference? I think there are some people who do read it the way you were saying it, that Washington has turned into a big mud fight and there's no substance to anything that they're saying. And some people are so cynical about the situation that they really think there's just no difference in what they're saying at all. I think there are others who say, sure, Boehner is saying something different than Obama, but neither one of them knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, and this number changed. In November, you found just a third of those polled saw little difference in which approach was better. Now it's up to 52%. Who moved?
Well, a lot of folks right after the midterm election felt that the Republicans had a plan. At that point, about a third of Americans said they thought the Republicans had the better approach to the deficit. Now that's fallen down to just 21% who think Republicans have a better approach to the deficit than Obama. Some of the bloom is off, and that's not unusual in the months after an election when a party turns from campaigning to actually governing, which is a much trickier endeavor.
Is this the divide among House Republicans and Republicans in general rearing its head? Tea Party supporters think the House Republican leadership isn't being tough enough?
Yes, I think there's some evidence of that. I mean, the proportion of Tea Partiers who say that there's not much difference in how well Republicans or Obama are handling it more than doubled between November and now, from 16% to 39%. So there's certainly a wing of the Republican Party who has consistently felt that the leadership isn't going far enough and who is becoming sort of disillusioned with the way that the Republican Party is handling the deficit issue.
Right. So Speaker Boehner and Obama may be $55 billion apart on immediate spending cuts, but those Tea Partiers want them to be $95 billion apart, and I think those are the real numbers. Independents also moved. Is that for a different reason?
Well, I think so. Again, I think in the 2010 period, a lot of independents came over to the Republican Party, certainly played a critical role in a lot of the victories at the state and district levels. But now that they're watching, again, a political debate that feels, I think, like a lot of talking points, but without any substantial progress, the proportion who felt that the Republicans had the better plan fell from 37% to 17%, basically cut in half between November and now. And now 62% of independents feel that neither side really has a quality approach here.
I'm curious, what percentage of those surveyed do you find identify as Tea Party supporters at this point?
It's somewhere around a quarter, typically. I think in this current poll, it might have been just shy of that. Actually, it was 19% in the current poll. It's been in the low 20s. You get another 20% to 25% who say they disagree with the Tea Party, not just that they don't have an opinion about it. So you get about 20 to 25% who say they agree with it, 20 to 25% who disagree with it, and then a big middle who just doesn't really feel one way or the other.
What about the percentage who identify as independents? Is that changing?
It has been changing. Over the past decade, the proportion of Americans who reject party labels, in effect, who say they're neither Democrat nor Republican, has been growing. It's close to 40% now of the American public. That's substantially higher than in previous years. And what's interesting about it is Democratic identification had really surged around 2007 and 2008 during Obama's election year. It's come back down since then, but Republicans have not gained any traction in drawing people into Republican identification. So as there are fewer Democrats, there are just more independents.
Do you make a distinction between independents and moderates? My sense is that independents aren't just people who are sort of in the middle, but people with often very strong opinions, maybe, you know, pro-Tea Party, for example, mm-hmm. on the budget, but maybe they're more liberal on other social issues or whatever.
No, you're absolutely right. The diversity of opinions among independents is incredibly wide. And to specifically to your point, about half of the people who say that they agree with the Tea Party mm-hmm. are independent, about half. The other half say they're Republican, but about half say they're independent. So, and in many ways, those independent Tea Partiers are far more conservative than Republicans. Part of why they don't call themselves Republican is because they don't think the Republican Party is holding the line enough.
But Obama,
you see that,
go ahead.
You see that on the left as well. You see plenty of people who call themselves independent but hold very, very liberal views on government policies, be they social policies or economic policies. So the independent grouping has become incredibly diverse, widespread in its views.
Obama won among independents in 2008. Do you
right.
know what percentage of independents who voted for Obama now call themselves Tea Party supporters?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that it's a lot. I think most of the folks who identify with the Tea Party I think, you know, have been conservative for a while. In fact, while many of them were frustrated with George W. Bush, I'm not sure they were frustrated enough that they were flipping over to voting for Obama. I mean, this is a sentiment that's been around for a while. I think it became crystallized in 2009 around the healthcare debate and in particular the bank bailout, of course, was one of the real crystallizing events in the Tea Party.
And my guest on WNYC, Michael Dimmick, the Associate Director for the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, as we take a deep dive on public opinion here this morning on their latest poll and some other background numbers. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number. If you want to answer one of the poll questions that was in here before we explore the results with Michael, the question again was, which is the biggest economic concern to you, inflation, inflation, which is rising prices, or jobs, or the deficit? And our lines are full, Michael, and we're going to go through some of the callers here real quick. Barbara in Pleasantville, we're going to give everybody just a few seconds. Tell us which one of those three, and real briefly, why.
Jobs, because if we deal with the deficit first, it's going to mean losing more jobs, and it's not until more people have jobs that we're going to be able to, without seriously harming the country, attack the deficit.
Barbara, thank you. Tom and Seabright.
Good morning. It's jobs for sure. You know, I just can't believe that there's really no sophisticated discussion of some political theory of how this country should be run. What kind of social contract do we have? What kind of good society do we have? Is it just to make the rich more prosperous? You know, just over the past 30 years, so much wealth has gone to the top 1%.
And so it should be jobs. Tom, thank you. And Bonnie on Staten Island, jobs, rising prices, or deficit?
I completely agree with the other two callers, jobs. And Barbara has it right. If you don't have a job, you can't pay off your debts. That goes for the country as well as for your own private budget.
Bonnie, thank you. Bruce in Long Island City, jobs, deficit, or rising prices?
Jobs. If you don't have a job and you owe money on your credit card, you'll pay the minimum amount. And if you have to go to school to retrain yourself to get another job, you'll put more money on your credit card. But it's looking down the road for the future.
And listeners, thank you, Bruce. Listeners, you can post on our site as well. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jobs, rising prices, or the deficit is your number one economic concern for Michael Dimmick from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. And Michael, I might as well just give away, unslide the sliding door and say, of our 10 lines, all 10 callers said jobs.
That's right. To a large extent, that reflects the general public's opinion as well. Over the course of the last year, we've been asking this question every few months, and consistently jobs has been the number one economic concern for Americans, and more than double the percent who say the budget deficit is the number one concern. That doesn't mean the deficit isn't important to people. In other questions, you get a huge number, 60-plus percent, saying it's critical to deal with the deficit, but when placed head-to-head, the job situation takes precedence. That's changed in the last couple of months, not so much because concern about the deficit has gone up. It's gone up a bit, but not to really new levels. What's come up is concern about inflation, that just within the last month or two, you've seen a growing share of the public thinking that the price situation, and particularly the visibility of gas prices, is their top concern. It speaks to a similar issue, that dealing with the long-term deficit issues is predicated in many people's minds about being able to just get by, and that means having a job and being able to afford what you need.
Susan in Bergen County is calling to say inflation, right, Susan?
Yes, and I think I'm the only person who said that.
So far. We're going to take one right behind you from Westchester. But tell me why. Where are you seeing it?
I'm not sure. I'm not an expert in these areas, but my feeling is costs have just gotten so out of control across the board. Housing, transportation, even food these days is just becoming so expensive to go to the grocery store for some people. And I think we live in a society that just fuels that as a status symbol. And I don't see, even if you do have a job, what I'm not seeing is that salaries are keeping up with inflation. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to know, you know, if an economist would agree with that or not, but that's how I see it.
Susan, thank you so much. And Charlie and Croton, you're also calling to say inflation would be your number one concern, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, I'm a contractor up here, and I definitely feel the pressure in terms of fuel price for trucks and for, you know, the tools of my trade. And also, my wife feels it when she goes shopping to get food. The price of food is going up. So I think it definitely has an impact.
And there it goes. Charlie, thank you very much. So that reflects, Michael, what you're seeing, which is though jobs are still the number one economic concern, inflation is starting to challenge it. Next hour, by the way, our economics editor, Charlie Herman, will come on with us for a few minutes, and we will take a lot of callers like that last one. We will specifically ask for business owners or business managers to call in and tell us where you are seeing inflation affect your business, what kind, you know, the prices of what, and we'll do that later in the show. But, Michael, if I'm reading your Pew data right, there's a lot of demographic difference here on who sees what as the biggest concern. Tell me if I'm seeing this more or less correctly. Republican men are the most concerned about the deficit compared to everyone else. Younger people in general are the most concerned about jobs. Women and lower income people from both parties are more concerned than others about inflation. Are those meaningful comparisons?
I think they are. I mean, there's no question that the economic ups and downs affect different groups of people differently. And when prices are going up, be it gas prices or other consumer goods and food, some people are going to feel that in a much more pressing way on their pocketbook than other people are. So you get folks in lower income categories with, say, household incomes under $30,000, you know, 34% of them say that prices is their top concern compared to only 19% of people with incomes of $75,000 or more. The deficit concern really is the most pressing among the higher income Americans, among older Americans, 65 and older, who aren't as worried about jobs or particular fluctuations necessarily in the prices.
More worried about the pressure on entitlements.
Right.
And it was, I'm going to throw one more in here before we run out of time. It was interesting to me how many Democrats you found opposed tax increases. 61% to 37% Democrats oppose tax increases. And I thought it was a fundamental position of the Democratic Party that the Bush tax cuts on the wealthy should expire.
Right. And I think this gets to one of the critical problems right now with the deficit debate, which is people oppose a lot of things in general. But when you get down to the specifics, there is more support. There's no doubt that a majority of Democrats backed eliminating the tax cuts for people with income for income over $250,000, which didn't get through in December. Democrats overwhelmingly supported that. In fact, most independents supported it. Most Americans supported ending those tax cuts. The problem is when things are pitched in general terms, mm-hmm. people tend to reactively oppose right. them. It's just same with entitlements. By 65 to 30, people say they oppose changes to Social Security and Medicare. But when you get more specific about, well, what about this kind of change? What about that kind of change? People express less resistance. Mm-hmm. But right now, the conversation is still in these broad general terms, which leads to a lot of resistance from the public.
So in sum, and in our last 30 seconds, to quote your own headline, you found Republicans are losing ground on the deficit in the court of public opinion, but Obama is not gaining. So how does that inform the coming clash in the next 17 days and whether there will be a compromise, John Boehner, or a government shutdown?
Well, I think the public would love to see a compromise because they would love to see something done tangibly so the government can focus on other problems. One of the things that frustrates Americans the most is that we seem to get bogged down on issues for so long. Healthcare was one recent example. Now it seems to be this deficit debate. Not that they're not important debates, but they seem to suck the air out of everything else that's important, like dealing with the job situation or infrastructure or other problems. If I think that the frustration people are expressing, the sense by 2-1 people say that this debate has been rude and disrespectful rather than polite and respectful, that puts pressure on the government to try to perform, to try to get past that. If they don't, the public dissatisfaction just gets greater.
Michael Dimmock, Associate Director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Thanks for the deep dive on public opinion. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Speaking of millionaires' taxes, Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker in New York State, is proposing a real one, not the one that we had for people making $200,000 a year, but for people making an actual $1 million a year. We'll talk about that and more with a Democrat and a Republican from the state legislature coming up next.